The Twilight Concert Series returns to Pioneer Park this summer, every Thursday, July 16th through August 27th. Visit twilightconcertseries.com for the full lineup and more details. I'm Henry Glasheen, Digital Content Coordinator for Slug, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, arts, lifestyle, and events. In this episode, we'll be previewing the upcoming 2015-16 season for the Utah Jazz with Slug columnist Mike Brown and Peter Mikowski from the band Accidente.
Welcome, Slug podcast listeners, to my semi-annual Utah Jazz podcast that I tricked them into letting me do, just because I like talking about the jazz. Right now, I'm here with Peter, Wachowski?
Mikowski.
I always thought it was with a W. Wajaklamidiowski?
Pretty much.
Okay. Peter, for many of you, may have known him in such awesome bands as Form of Rocket. You've been in so many bands.
Not really. Well, no. Form of Rocket, Accidente, and now Laverkan.
Yep. Okay, we'll get to that later. This is about the jazz, though, for now, because Peter is also probably as much of a jazz fan as I am. Season ticket holder, I am not. Did you renew your season tickets this year?
I did, yes. Gleefully.
Still in the upper bowl.
I even upgraded them shits, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for this season.
So, yeah?
Like many of us are.
All right, well, let's start talking jazz. I think first thing we need to talk about is Dante Exum's fucking knee. I don't know what you're thinking about it, because we haven't talked since that happened. That was about a week ago. In case you don't know, Dante Exum tore his fucking knee. And I met him at the Real soccer game a few weeks ago, and he was really nice. And so I was really pissed about it, but... Here's my perception of it, and I kind of wanted to get your take on this. So last year, Alec Burks hurt pretty much the whole fucking year. Didn't really get to see what he could do, anything like that. And now, it's almost kind of like the same situation, but with Dante Exum. But Alec Burks is going to be back, and also they signed, it's not Raul Neto, apparently it's Howell. Yeah, Howell Neto.
He's a sexy motherfucker.
He's a good-looking guy.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No, I could agree for sure. I could maybe switch teams for him, for sure. But a side note, what do you think the Dante Exum injury is going to do? Because what I'm thinking, and it's almost fun to speculate about it as much as that injury fucking sucks, but, like, Alec Burks is probably going to be playing some point guard, don't you think? Or what do you think they're going to do?
Well, you know... It's interesting. So they did, you know, they tried Alec Burks at point guard during the Corbin days, and it didn't go that well.
Because Corbin's an idiot.
Yeah. So you gotta account for that. But you know, honestly, people are making this a huge deal out of Dante's injury. I think it's a huge hit for his development. And I was really looking forward to seeing, you know, any, you know, progression that he was going to make this year. I think he showed obviously flashes of what he could do last year. Obviously struggled big time on offense. Kind of played like a giant wuss.
Yeah.
The entire year. I mean, he brought it defensively. I mean, especially towards the second half of the season, which, you know, has to do with a lot of factors. But, you know, that was a big, shining, promising moment for him.
Him hitting those three-pointers, though.
Shot under 30%, though, for the year. I mean, so it wasn't like he was lights out or anything. So, he progressed throughout the year, which was really promising. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy who averaged, what, like 5 points a game, a couple rebounds, couple assists, shot, you know, under 40% from field goal, under 30 from three. He had a five per, I mean, on the team. The guy was not... as big, I think, of an impact player on the team as people would like to make him out to be. Mm-hmm. I think that this year of play is huge for him as far as progressing, but I honestly don't think it's going to impact the team as much as people are saying. And like you mentioned, Alec Burks is coming back. That's huge. He, before he hurt his shoulder and had shoulder surgery, he was looking real good, man. I mean, he was averaging, like, I think it was like 13-4, I mean, and on better 3-point percentages. You know, at the start of this year, I saw Alec Burks taking Trey Burke's, Trey Burke's minutes for the most part. I saw Alec, you know, coming in and taking minutes from Trey, but now it looks like Trey's probably going to get a good deal of run at point guard. And honestly, if he can't hack it, adding Alec Burks back to the lineup is going to be in itself a huge improvement. It's too bad we don't have Dante. He was important defensively, but to be honest, I don't think it's going to impact the team's chances to compete as much as people think.
Well, especially if you got like Hayward taking the steps forward like people say he will, and Favors taking steps forward like you say he will, and like we all know Rudy Gobert. Like, I see the team focusing so much on defense next year that whole backcourt situation, even though Dante's hurt, is kind of a lesser factor, right? If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they're
we were the number one defense for the second half of the season. I mean, and we all know why that was. It was because of Rudy Gobert and period. I mean, yes, the team, you know, elevated its play, you know, throughout but let's not bullshit ourselves. We all know it was Rudy.
Yeah, you follow his Instagram?
Yes, I
do. It's good, man.
He is awesome.
He's got an awesome gram. And he dresses way cool, I think.
He's a good guy. I like him. He's the badass sort of surly guy that we needed on the team. What's the buzzword that everyone's – the nasty. He brings the nasty. He's a nasty player.
He's nasty.
So, yeah, I mean, honestly –
He's our Bill Laimbeer.
It's a bummer. I was excited to see Dante play. But, man, I mean, Hayward, like you mentioned, played point forward pretty much most of the year anyways. And had the ball in his hands most of the time and did a great job with it. So that's probably going to continue.
Well, and that's kind of what I like about what Quinn Snyder's doing is, since it's not so much like – they still run the pick and roll a lot, but it's not so much pick and roll oriented. Point guard, bring it up the court. It's like anyone, bring it up the court. Just get it up there fast.
It's from strong side, weak side. You've got from the top of the key pick and rolls. You got pick and rolls from baseline. They're just running them over and over and over again. And honestly, you just need a ball, a guard that can play in the pick and roll. And Alec Burks is a good passer.
Yep.
And he's got vision. He can play in the pick and roll. Plus, he's deadly. His shot's improved. We all know the dude can drive to the hole if need be and make something happen.
I don't want him to drive so much, though.
So, yeah.
That shit scares me.
It is pretty terrifying, but, it's really effective. And if he can make it work without getting hurt this year, I mean, Jazz are going to make some noise.
Yeah, from what I've heard, his shoulder's like 100%. He's like better than it was before.
He had to learn to reshoot, basically.
Fuck.
So he basically had to teach himself to shoot again, which he was improving on the year prior anyways. But so that'll be a question mark. I mean, there's still a lot of question marks going into this season, but a lot of stuff to be really stoked on.
What are you most stoked about?
Man, it's kind of hard to choose. Watching Dante play, that was one thing. Mostly, I just want to see if a couple things. I want to see if Gobert can bring it for a full 82. I think he can, but it's gonna be fun to watch him play. I think Favors and Hayward are starting to reach their ceiling in terms of production, but they've both improved each year. I'm excited to see them play again. Gordon brings something new to his game every year, so I'm excited to see what he brings. I'm really excited to see Rodney Hood. I love Rodney Hood. I'm a big fan.
I love him too, man.
Yeah, and Alec Burks too.
I mean, that guy gives awesome interviews. he did an interview once where I think it was with David Locke, and he was asking him like what an average day was like in his childhood home, and he was just like, "We'd eat chicken and watch Good Times." And I was like, "That's so fucking rad."
He's pretty gangster, man.
I mean, for sure.
Have you seen his cars? Like, he's Instagrammed a couple. I think a couple cars. He's bought. Man, they're so nice and just
good for him.
Just huge, like, you know, whatever. The guy's chill. I like him.
No, I like that though, because he seems like just the most laid back dude. But like, even when he's on the court, at least for me this year, it didn't feel like you're watching a rookie.
No, you know? Not at all.
It felt like you're watching someone who's calm.
He's got a
collected,
very mature game.
And very mature.
But my favorite part of his game is his mid-range. His mid-range game and his pull-up game is so fun to watch. It's so old school.
I feel like the mid-range game in the NBA in general is just dying. Like, it's just not, it's either three-point shots or drive to the middle. You know, you don't. Can you really think of too many NBA players that just kill it in the fucking mid-range game, like the same way like Karl Malone did, or, you know, some of the older players? I guess like maybe Dirk Nowitzki, and I can't really think of too many others.
Well, you reference guys like Kobe. His mid-range game is just ridiculous.
Right.
But he...
But those guys started playing when the mid-range game was relevant.
Uh-huh. And that's the thing is, yeah, teams are moving away from mid-range just with the current style NBA type of play. But, you can tell Quinn Snyder was working with all the guards on their floaters. Trey Burke busted it out a bunch, or at least tried, through most of the year. But, man, Rodney Hood just blew me away. Like, I knew he was going to be good. I was really excited when we got him as late as we did in the mm-hmm. draft. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I knew nothing about him when they drafted him.
See, when I would watch in that draft, I was watching Duke to see Jabari play, just to kind of get an
idea. As was everybody,
right.
Yeah.
They wanted to see like what kind of player he was. And every time I'm watching Duke, I'm like, man, this Hood kid is really awesome. Like, I really like his game.
Well, they made him the captain.
Oh, yeah. He was the only transfer that Mike Krzyzewski has ever taken on Duke. So he transferred from, it's one of the Mississippi schools. It's escaping me. It's one of the smaller
Some shitty school in Mississippi.
Yeah. I think it was the one that had their football team was really good. But anyways, so he was the first transfer that he had ever accepted. And, I mean, you can see why. The dude is good. He's fun to watch. So I'm really excited about that. I'm excited to see Quinn Snyder with another year under his belt and see what he can do with the offense. I know that they were running sort of bare bones offense last year because they were focusing on defense.
Right.
At least that's what they were saying. So, man, there's just so much to be stoked on. It's kind of hard to choose one thing.
What are your opinions on Quinn Snyder? I personally like him a lot.
Oh, I love him. He's smart. If you know the guy's background, the dude's a genius. I mean, he has, you know, he graduated from Duke with a degree. I think it was political science, and then he got his master. He got his MBA and his Juris Doctorate at the same time.
So he's got a law degree,
and a business degree, and then started coaching with Mike Krzyzewski. And then
and they did a bunch of blow at Missouri, never
yeah,
mind.
And
allegedly.
Allegedly. And may have been banging the players' girlfriends. That's a rumor too.
Oh, what's that
but
guy's
who knows?
Name?
No one knows if this stuff is true. But it's great. It's great coffee talk.
It is great coffee talk. And before the days of when social media made all of that very abundant.
Oh, well, and he's lucky that he missed
he's
out on
so
that, you know,
lucky.
Because now this is, you know.
Linus Klaza, that's it. That's who it was. It was allegedly Linus Klaza's girlfriend, Quinn Snyder, banged.
Well, good for him.
Allegedly.
Well.
I'm not saying it happened, because Quinn's a great coach.
And I don't care. He's turned the team around completely. I mean, I don't think any of, I think all Jazz fans were very discouraged during the Corbin years, even though they were short, but
right.
Just what the product that was on the floor and what was being run and just the basic trend of the team was really discouraging.
Even in Sacramento, it didn't seem like Corbin knew what he was doing ever.
Well, he's
he's
a great assistant coach. You got to give him that. He's a good player coach. You know, guys like him. He's he's kind of that old school veteran guy.
I feel like if there's like a good cop, bad cop mentality between coaching, like with the head coach and the assistant coach, he would be the perfect assistant coach. That's like the good cop.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Then like the. You know, Jerry
Absolutely.
Sloan could be like, fuck you, blah, 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 you know. And Corbin could be the guy that would be, hey, man, listen, it's cool, just chill, just do it, whatever. But then when he gets put in that other position, it's just like, oh, fuck.
He's obviously not a head coach.
It's
obvious to us now. And you got to give him love because he's, you know, he played for the Jazz, you know. There's a lot of haters, and I totally understand it because, yeah, he was a
tough fucking player.
He was a terrible head coach. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just really bad. So, I mean, just Quinn and even just the way Quinn talks to the media and talks to the fans, he's very deliberate. He speaks in basketball talk like we're not idiots. I think one thing that is very evident in Utah and amongst Utah Jazz fans is that we really like the team and we really like basketball.
It's a very knowledgeable market.
Yes, and he speaks X's and O's to fans, which I think is just so awesome. It's so refreshing because it's like, you know, you're not going to get it all. It's not like we're all like basketball geniuses or anything.
It's so
different
from Sloan, though, where it was just like, we just got to play hard.
But Jerry,
why'd you guys lose?
Jerry didn't.
We
need
didn't
to do
play
that,
hard.
Though. Jerry just won though, so you didn't need to know why.
No, you're right. He didn't need to explain.
And he told good jokes, and he had awesome sense of humor. And I didn't really ask much of Jerry because Jerry gave so much to me. And,
right.
And you know, I can't really harp on Jerry for that too much.
Hmm. No, I'm not harping on him. I just think it's so funny just how different it is listening to a Jerry Sloan in an interview.
Totally.
Versus listening to, like, Quinn Snyder talk about something.
Well, and you could tell towards the end there, Jerry was pretty done.
Yeah.
He was pretty cooked.
Yeah. Like, I was pretty bummed on how he quit. Actually, it was so funny because I was driving to a funeral for kind of a distant relative, so it wasn't like too sad, you know, just more like obligatory, like, oh, show up or don't or whatever. And I'm driving and I was listening to fucking Jim Rome. The news came in, it's like 12 in the afternoon, and I was like, I gotta go home. I can't do this. Just turn my car around. I was like, no. Not happening. Not gonna be around people.
That was rough times, man. And
it was just weird.
Oh, it was.
And then I went to a game. Like the only like merchandise, NBA merchandise that I have that's like not Utah Jazz is I have a Jerry Sloan Bulls T-shirt.
Oh, sweet.
And so I went to the game right after he quit, and it was so surreal. There was such a weird vibe in the whole building, and I wore that shirt. And, I mean, at halftime when I'm walking around the concourse, I'm not even kidding, like, four or five people came up to me and, like, patted me on the back. Like, we're both just like, I know, man, I know. Like, this is so weird. And they wouldn't show any of the signs on the Jumbotron mm-hmm. that people had made that were like, we love you, Jerry, or we miss you, or anything. It was just, like, fucking weird.
Now I'm
such a weird energy.
I hated it. And honestly, like, even just thinking about it kind of makes me feel shitty. And
yeah, right?
You know? Yeah. You go to Urban and you see that painting. I was just looking at it the other night, that painting of Jerry on above the door.
Right.
And, man, I just, like, it's just you get nostalgic and reminisce about
I
it.
I had the kid that did that, Andrew Sato, who's a really good artist. Really weird. I don't know if you know him.
I haven't
he's
met
great.
Him,
though. He's fucking great.
No, that painting's awesome.
Yeah, he. I had him do a Stockton and Sloan one for me. Like, custom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you have that in your house?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. They're about the same size. Mine are vertical, though.
Uh-huh.
But it's pretty good. And then Andrew's funny. He does a lot of acid. And he's a really big jazz fan, too. I should have him on the podcast. He'd be good. But, well, he's not very talkative, so probably not. But anyway, so if anybody's listening, if you were this asshole, did you ever see the full-size Stockton portrait?
Yeah.
There was someone jacked that.
That's why I was wondering what happened, because I'm like, that Jerry is new.
Yeah.
And
people tried to steal those things all the time because there was a Karl Malone one.
Yeah, the Karl
in there
one.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so someone jacked the full-body Stockton. And just walked right out the back with it.
Fucking
just during
assholes.
A show. And yeah, right? So if anybody's listening and anybody knows who did that, either return it or
hey, yeah, if you see a really awesome full-size Stockton in someone's
There's
apartment.
Only one like it. There's no mistaking it.
That's criminal, man. That's not cool.
Not cool.
The Twilight Concert Series returns to Pioneer Park this summer, presented by the Salt Lake City Arts Council, every Thursday, July 16th through August 27th. The series brings together an eclectic selection of performers from various genres, all at an affordable price for a massive audience to attend. Tickets are on sale in advance at 24tix.com for $5, or for purchase the day of the show for $10. Gates open at 5 p.m. and music starts at 7 p.m. Visit twilightconcertseries.com for the full lineup and for more details.
Is there anything else, Jazz, you feel we need to discuss?
Oh, we didn't talk. Well, we need to talk about the draft a little bit, maybe. We could talk. Trey Lyles was really the only thing worth talking about. I mean, what did you think of him? Have you looked him up,
you know,
or like watched any of his stuff?
I watched some of the Summer League and the games that he actually got to play in, and he did look good, and the reviews were good on him. That they were kind of, you know, I think he's just going to be buried on the bench this year, spend some time in the D League. But I think he's a good pick. I didn't put too much stock in this draft. And I didn't pay too much attention to, like, the draft prospects. It wasn't as fun as last year where you had, like, all the, you know.
We were higher in the draft order.
Way higher.
Yeah.
Way higher. And, like, the lower we get, the less fun it is.
Well,
and I was more anticipating, okay, are we going to make a move to bump up? But then I was also, the thing I like about him the most, and it's almost not even about him, is that I feel like kind of picking him shows that we're kind of done getting young people and trying to develop them. Like, we're starting to kind of bet on our horses and just, like, go, go, go. Get better, get better, get better. Because it's like, how many fucking years Are we just going to sit there and be like, we're rebuilding, we're rebuilding, we're rebuilding, to where it's like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've started a hashtag for the Jazz's season this year. It's called Bake That Motherfucking Cake. Hashtag Bake That Motherfucking Cake. And it's the argument that, because I think some Jazz fans would argue or you know, would say they're maybe a little disappointed with free agency this year's, you know, because we didn't go after anybody big or
there weren't
didn't
a lot
bring
of
any
big options out there, though.
There weren't. And nothing that you would really trade out for what we've got, right?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Like, we want to see Alec Burks, see what he can do now that he's back. We want to see if Rodney Hood's grown. You know, Gordon, Derek, and Rudy are set. We're not moving those. I mean, we're bringing back Joe Ingles. Gotta love Joe. Dude looks like he has been.
Jingles
looks like he's been, like, up the night before the game just drinking whiskey and smoking
doing
cigarettes.
Meth.
Oh, yeah. I love him. He looks like me.
Yeah.
And gotta love Trevor Booker. Dude talked mad shit on Enes Kanter, and he will be.
He looks just like LeBron.
He will be beloved for, you know, for yeah.
He came into the bar I was working at last few months ago.
For real? Nice.
I ID'd him. It was great.
Trevor? Sweet.
Yeah.
He seems like a cool, like, weird guy. I don't know. He just seems like weird.
You know,
to me.
My experience with meeting, like, NBA players is that they are all just socially awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And he had played a game that night, and he came in with, what's his name? Elijah Millsap.
Hmm.
Him, Elijah. And they were just hitting on all the white women. It was so funny. It was like, that's rad. But I just was like, oh, cool, good game, you know? And she's just like, thanks.
Nice.
Like, you guys are weird, man.
I know.
But yeah. I'll say this about Dante. When I met him a few weeks ago, nice kid.
Yeah.
Not even flossing. He was wearing like a bathing suit and a plain t-shirt. I'm not even kidding. I didn't even realize it was, I was like, is that? No, NBA players wear chains. Like, that can't be him. And then I looked at his shoes and I'm like, yeah, he's rocking Adidas's. And
well,
so,
you gotta remember he's 19, so it's like, you know, he's...
This is true.
He doesn't know how cool is yet.
Well, this is true, but it... Maybe he does. Maybe he's ahead of the game.
Maybe.
But
Or he's just that chill.
I will say this, man. He looks taller than 6'6".
Good.
I'm not joking. I'm a pretty good assessor of height. Like, I know he's put on some pounds, like healthy pounds,
mm-hmm.
this year, at least before he got hurt or whatever. But I was like, you're big, dude. Like, you were a big guy.
Well, it's, again, man, it just sucks that we're not going to be able to watch him. I think he was going to struggle again this year.
Yeah.
I think he was going to still continue to kind of find his way. I think that summer league game, he had a summer league game his rookie year where he just lit it up. I think it was his first one. And I think he's going to continue to struggle until he gets older, more mature, less scared, I think, and just becoming more comfortable with himself. So it sucks. We don't get to watch him. But Jazz are going to be battling for 6th, 7th, or 8th. I know it. I'm calling it right now. We're going to be in contention for one of those spots. Guaranteed.
And are you saying that because they're getting better, which we know they are, which is awesome, or because other teams have gotten worse, like Portland's gonna.
Oh, they're gonna be
dumpster
terrible.
Fire
oh,
this year.
Yeah, no, they're a heap of burning garbage right now. Yeah, they're.
I don't see the Lakers getting better.
No, oh no. I mean that's the thing is that you've got probably the two teams that are gonna drop are Portland and probably the Mavericks. I think.
I don't know. They just got Deron Williams.
They just got D. Will. But I just don't see. And they've got a great coach. They've got, like, my favorite coach in the NBA.
Rick Carlisle?
Rick Carlisle. Love that guy.
Really?
He's a good guy. Out of the teams that are knocking on the door, the Jazz are best positioned purely because of their defense. Because ultimately,
that's what
no
wins.
Matter how much you struggle, if you've got a good defense, you're in every game.
Exactly.
And if we play... Even if we play, go for stretches where we played the last half of the season... it doesn't even need to be totally consistent and bringing it every single night. If they do it, you know, for most of the season, they're in. We were just, if you were just remember watching those games, man, it went from where you expected us to lose to where you expected us to be in every game, like in every single game.
No, the statistics for like after the All-Star break and when Rudy Gobert started, it was insane.
It's nuts.
It's just
we went from like bottom seller defensive team to the best team in the NBA, and that's saying a lot. And we played some. The schedule was you know, we did play some bottom dwelling teams, but we played some good teams. Like we beat the Spurs, we beat a handful of good teams. We beat Memphis. I'm not going to run off all the teams, but we did fine. we did fine. They played great. So if they can bring that for most of the season, and most of that hinges on Rudy Gobert staying healthy, I think we're in great
Fingers
shape.
Fingers crossed.
We'll see. We shall see.
Cool. Well, Peter, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule.
My pleasure, man. I love talking jazz.
Yeah. To do the jazz podcast that Slug lets me do. Is there anything else that you would like to plug?
Yes, I'm going to self-promote. The band that I play in, Leverkin, will be playing at the Music Garage on August 21st, which I believe is a Friday. Let me check my...
Sounds like a Friday.
It sounds like a Friday, right? Yeah, it is a Friday. Friday night, 7 a.m. We're playing with a band from Minneapolis.
7 a.m.?
7 p.m. Excuse me. Shut up. 7 p.m., Music Garage, Friday, August 21st, with a band called Buildings from Minneapolis. They're cool if you're into the type of music that we play, if you've ever heard us.
Which is?
Very similar. Leverkin.
No, like some style of music.
Some style of music. I don't know. Bands like The Jesus Lizard.
Ah, cool.
Or Shellac.
I haven't seen you guys yet. I've been to Leverkin, Utah.
That's where we got the name from, actually.
It's a very weird town.
So the history, just really quick, why we chose the name is, one, because we love Utah and we wanted to pick something Utah. Second is, so the history of the town, it's called Leverkin. It sits along the Virgin River. The original settlers of that area called the town, or whatever, La Virgin, the Virgin, right? So Mormon settlers came in.
Leverkin.
And they couldn't fucking pronounce La Virgin, so they're like, we're going to call it Leverkin. So that's why they fucking called it Leverkin.
No way.
Which is just ridiculous.
That's rad. I never knew that.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah, I think they have like some sort of proclamation on the books where they've officially seceded from
right.
the UN.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not a member of the UN.
They are like the so right-wing, they're left type people, you know? Just like toting guns and...
Oh, yeah. So there's a...
They see a black helicopter, they're like, fuck you!
Last and coolest part is they have, I guess, a law on the books that once you turn 18, you're required to own a firearm.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
That's cool.
It's crazy. So we thought it was appropriate just because it's
a great band name.
It's thank you.
I mean it.
It's if you've ever been to Leverkin, I'm not gonna talk shit on Leverkin, but
I went to a house party there once.
Yeah.
My dad lives in St. George, and a friend picked me up in St. George, and he's like, "Well, you know, let's go to Leverkin. My friend has a house out there, I'd never even heard of it before." And then my dad was like, "What'd you do last night?" I'm like, "I went to some party in Leverkin." And he's like, "You went to Leverkin?"
Seriously, I would never hang out in Leverkin, but if I was in St. George,
yeah,
I would definitely go hang out in Leverkin.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. No, that's what. There's no bars in St. George.
St. George, they have the one and only.
That's it. They don't even serve liquor.
They got like an Iggy's or something.
I don't know. Yeah, whenever I go to St. George, my dad always puts me up in a hotel right by the one and only. And I'll go because it's great people watching, but scary.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's beer bar.
Just beer.
Yeah, and not good beer.
No, I just go and get a Budweiser bottle so I have a weapon.
Good on you.
All right. Well, I think this will conclude the Utah Jazz podcast. I'd like to thank Peter Makowski.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. We should do this again, definitely.
For sure.
This is fun.
Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter at Slug Soundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, John Ford, and myself, Henry Glasheen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples. Our main logo and art design was by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colgan. Next week, we'll explore a pair of literary journals in Utah with Peculiar and Salt Front. Thanks for listening.